of us now turn in the Word of God for our instruction. We turn first of all to the book of Ecclesiastes and the chapter 9. The book of Ecclesiastes, the chapter 9, and we read from the verse 1 through to the verse 12. And then we have a New Testament reading, which the Lord willing will follow. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. If you're looking for that and you're perhaps new to the Bible, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Song. Ecclesiastes, the chapter 9, commencing our reading of the verse 1. This is God's word, let us hear together. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth is he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. There is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life. And in thy labor which thou takest under the sun, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. Amen. Let us now turn to the New Testament and the Gospel of Matthew in the chapter 11. The Gospel of Matthew in the 11th chapter. Again, this is God's holy word. Verse 1, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For of all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold a man, gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. This is the word of Almighty God, the word of the living God, who created the heavens and the earth. The grass withers, the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord shall abide forever. May the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading of his most holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word to our hearts here this evening, and all to the glory of his precious and holy name. Well, dear congregation, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the first reading that I read to you in your hearing there in the book of Ecclesiastes, the chapter 9. And this evening, as I direct your attention there, I want to minister from some words found in the verse 4. Let me read the verses 4 and 5, and you'll hear once again. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. And it's the words that we find there in the verse 4. A living dog is better than a dead lion. A living dog is better than a dead lion. We read in this passage that men, while they live in madness all of their days, and they go to the grave. While men live, they live in madness. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, my friends, the Word of God is honest. And because it is honest, it is offensive to the human heart. Let me repeat that. Because the Word of God is honest, it is offensive to the human heart. That is because, as sinners, you and I are offensive to a holy God. Let me repeat that again. The reason why the Word of God is offensive is because we are offensive to the living God. Our sins are an affront to God. The Bible is offensive because it is honest. But let me say this, the Bible is not degrading. It's not degrading at all. It's not demeaning, but it is offensive because it speaks the truth. The Bible uses many analogies from nature. And here we have just one prime example. It's not flattering language, is it? A living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit here is not talking about dogs and lions, my friend. Just look at the surrounding verses. Look at what is said before this in the verse 3. There is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. Is that flattering? Is that a comforting word? God says to you, your heart is full of evil. Is the Bible not offensive? It is. Not unnecessarily offensive, but it is. It has to be offensive because it speaks the truth. And notice what is in the heart. And madness is in their heart while they live. And after that they go to the dead. The wages of sin, says the Word of God, is death. That is offensive to man. Why do men die? God says, because of sin. Because I warned Adam in the day that he sinned, Adam, thou shalt surely die. And while men live, they live as lions. But they ought to think of themselves rather as dogs. Better, a living dog is better than a dead lion. People are brave in this world. Despite the fact that God has made the heavens and the earth, and day unto day the heavens and the earth declare God's glory, we see His marvelous handiwork in the things that He has made and created. We see all these things, and yet we live as a bold lion in the face of God. We live as mad lions, roaring around, strutting up and down this world, as if there is no death, as if there is no hell, as if there is no judgment. Now, my friend, if we are to have any dealings with God, we've got to be offended. But the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed is he that is not offended in me." And I read it, did I not, from Matthew chapter 11. There we have the Lord Jesus Christ in that passage. He is preaching from city to city. He went to his own. He came to his own. He came to the Jews, and they received him not. He did many mighty miracles in those places, showing that he is God the Son, showing that he is God the Creator. You can be as kind and as nice to people as you wish. The Lord Jesus Christ went about doing good, healing the lame, the blind, the lepers. Did they receive him? No, they received him not. In that chapter of Matthew, chapter 11, I want you to think there and see how bold men are in this world, how brazen people are. They're as lions. You may be a young, small person here tonight. You may say, well, I don't claim to be a lion. I don't claim to be one of those great big beasts. I don't know if you've ever been to the Whipsnade Zoo that we have not far away from here, and you can go there. I've been with the grandchildren. In fact, I saw a recent picture of them there standing next to one of the lions in, well, of course, there was a big glass cage behind there, a glass window. And we'd dare go into that enclosure, would we? They are great, majestic people. Beings. But we act as if we're great, big, majestic people before the Almighty God. Better, friends, a living dog than a dead lion. God's word is warning us here. God has to offend if he's going to bind up. As we will see, he has to bruise. Preaching that has no offense to it, I say it really does not comport with God's word. It should not be preached. We don't offend unnecessarily, but the truth will offend. You know, the Bible, I said, uses this language so often that is offensive. The Bible speaks of sheep and goat. Well, let's think of sheep. God says there are two kinds of people in this world. He has his sheep and then there are the goats. Well, the terminology of a sheep is not really flattering language. Sheep are silly. And without a shepherd, they die. They do foolish things. And, well, they're helpless. That's a sheep in this world, isn't it? But that's really how God pictures even all of his people. They're not clever. They're as wandering sheep. So the Bible is perfectly honest, and we must be honest about ourselves if we're to have dealings with God. But here many people live as bold lions. Now, what the Lord does as he gives his spirit to Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, if you were to study this book, it seems somewhat pessimistic, but it's not. It's beautifully honest about man. Man comes into this world, and this world is full of labor. It's work, work, work. It's get. It's earn. It's attain. And that's how people are. They come into this world and they think, what can I get next? How am I going to achieve in this world? How am I going to advance in life? And all the person does is think about himself, herself, and that's life. Life lived under the sun, with no thought of his or her creator, no thought of God, no thought of eternity, no thought of judgment day. How can I make the most of this life? How can I live it up? And sin, of course, is ignored. Solomon said he sought to find wisdom under the sun. He took to drink wine, mirth, partying, building palaces, having great places, building colossal things. And we know that Solomon was an exceedingly wealthy man. God gave him both riches and wisdom. And you need to realize, as I do, that everything, we have those words in John chapter 3, a man may receive nothing except it be given him of heaven. All the health, the strength that you have, the faculty of mind, The strength of body, the beauty maybe you have, you young people. You look beautiful, you look attractive, but all of that will go. Everything you have is from God. You also, what do you have? You have His law written upon your hearts. That's what the Word of God says. Your conscience sometimes excusing you or else accusing you. You know right from wrong, and maybe you've had the privilege of coming under God's Word and you've grown up in a church and you know right from wrong. And you've been taught that there is the living God and there's the day of judgment when soon we shall have to stand before Almighty God. Yet the heart is so hard. As we've read in our text, men live under the sun. And yet you know this, you've seen it, you've experienced it. Perhaps you've had grandparents and you've gone to their funeral. Relatives. You know, as Solomon reminds us here by the Spirit, there's one event that happens to all. What is it? At the end of this life, what is it? You die. But what after that? The judgment. The Scriptures say it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Well, my friends, so many people live with this knowledge. And they live as bold, brazen lions before God. If you were to go to Nelson's Column in London, you go to the fountains there, you'll see the great big lions and the water fountains. But really, this is how the human heart is. So bold, so brazen before Almighty God, you live one day to the next as if there is no God, there is no judgment. What is that? It is madness in the heart while you live. Denying your Creator. Now, what the Lord Jesus Christ says, and people get this so wrong when they come to Matthew chapter 11, is that He said, if He had preached in Sodom and Gomorrah, people would have repented. It doesn't mean to say they'd be saved, but they would have repented. The people were so hardened there in His day. This has to do with hardness of heart. Hardness of heart, that's the one true thing. Would you see that you have lived before the Almighty? And He has the strength to take away life at any moment in time. Sometimes, as we read in Job, what God does is He humbles the sinner. He brings maybe a person near death, or there's that sudden conviction of sin, and there always is when the Lord saves. And you're brought to that point, and you see that you've been living so brazenly before the Almighty, and really you come to realize that you're but nothing but a weak, poor dog. As it were. Now the Jews would refer to the Gentiles as dogs. I'm going to refer you to some scriptures in a moment that teach this. And friends, let me say, the Bible is completely honest. The Jews looked down upon the Gentiles. They thought that they were right with God because they had a knowledge of the truth. But many of them had unconverted hearts. They had uncircumcised hearts. See, the person that really sees themselves to be as a dog. What is a dog? A dog is so dependent, isn't it? I think of my little dog. He depends upon us. Little dog, Snail. They depend upon their owners. And there they are. They come under the table sometimes, perhaps. And they want the crumbs. Because they realize that's all really they deserve. What do we deserve? We are God's creatures. The pinnacle of creation. When God made man, He made him in His image. Man was vice-regent over all creation. And God gave to Adam that enormous responsibility of naming all the creatures. Given such a mind and the capacity to name, but also to look after and to subdue the earth and to serve God, but man abandoned God, as it were, went his own way. And we come into this world, my friends, as like lions, as if thinking, of course, a lion would think nothing could defeat it. But of course, there are animals that can kill a lion. It's proven that a tiger, some large tigers, can kill them. But friends, there is the great lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge of all men, that one day we will have to face as the Almighty. We think we're invincible. That's how we come into this world. I'm not going to die. And if God judges me, well, he's not going to judge all of my sins. He'll somehow overlook my good deeds, my bad deeds, and outweigh them with all my good deeds in my life. No, my friends, God is holy and he is just. And death will carry you away to judgment and to eternal judgment. Now, why? Notice there is a living dog better than a dead lion. For him that is joined to all the living, that's while there's life, notice there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. You see, the Christian has hope in God. There's his confidence. He realizes that he is but a poor, worthless dog. What are we? And this is a very solemn picture, isn't it? Let's just go quickly to Luke 16, verse 19 there. We have Lazarus, who feared God. Lazarus, who obeyed God. But then he died. There was a rich man who fed sumptuously every day, and he had the things of this world, and there was a poor man who loved God and feared God, and we're told there that the dogs came and they licked his sores. It's amazing, isn't it, how even the animals, and they say that even a dog's lick, something in it has some curement for the body. It's just like, perhaps not something you'd like to think about, but if you go in the sea, they tell you that the sea, if you've got a cut, you've got a wound, go in the sea. And in the old days, I remember there was a cream and also an ointment. One was called Mercurochrome. It's perhaps lost on some of you. It's a very old ointment, medicine, but a dog can lick a wound and do a man good. And that's all this man Lazarus had. He never had much in this life, but he loved God. And there was the rich man. He had everything. He had all the ointments. He had all the food. But he was living as a lion, as it were, and thinking that his riches and his wealth would stay with him forever. But soon he was swept away into a lost eternity. And then there is, of course, the wealthy farmer who was storing up great wealth and riches in this life. And he said, I'll build bigger barns. He was blessed by God with a great increase. And then he said, take ease, my soul, for thou hast many years. You see, living as a lion. But what are we? Before God, we are dogs, as it were. We're sinners. And the Bible reminds us of this again and again. Let me take you to another passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 15. We have this account of the woman. It's our Lord Jesus Christ is preaching the various coasts. Matthew 15, 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord. O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs. You see, the Jews, these men, the disciples, saying, Send her away. But she cries, Lord, have mercy. She didn't see herself to be special. She saw herself to be a sinner. She saw herself to be unworthy. And you see, what the Lord is doing here, he's drawing her out. He's saying, I have come to the lost sheep of Israel, but yes, I will receive those who see themselves as such great sinners. Better a living dog than a dead lion. My friend, are you a living dog? You see, as it were, the Lord Jesus Christ makes these living dogs. He humbles them. Those are his people. He says, My people, be poor in spirit. That was this woman here, poor in spirit. Lord, help me. She had a great need. Her daughter was unwell, but she cries out unto him. She says, Lord, thou son of David. She recognizes who the Lord Jesus is. He is the Christ. He's not just Jesus of Nazareth, but he's the promised Savior. She comes as a beggarly sinner to him. She says, Lord, I know. I know I'm nothing. I know I don't belong to Israel. But Lord, I am as the dog. And I sit, as it were, underneath the table. And I'm willing, Lord, to receive even the crumbs, Lord, that thou art willing to give. You see, that's the picture of a sinner. People, friends, they come into this world and they live in this world as if the world owes them something, and as if God owes them something, as if life owes you something. Friend, if God were to take you tomorrow, he would owe you nothing. But you owe him everything. Every breath you have breathed. Were you a lion? Will you be a dead lion soon? Or were you a living dog? That's the question. And I want to take you last. I've mentioned how the Lord Jesus Christ preached from city to city there, and calling men to repent. And of course, John the Baptist was there, and now he's in prison. John was calling men to repent. But friends, now here's the gospel. Here it is. We have disdained our Creator, our God. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to give life to dogs. Not lions, but to dogs. You see, narrow is the gate that leads to life. It's a narrow gate. It's hard to get through. It's too much pride in man. The gospel we preach is that which will only be accepted by humble sinners. That's it. Now look at it. As you notice in the verse 25 of Matthew 11, the Lord Jesus, he has preached and he's warned of God's judgment coming upon impenitent sinners, that God's wrath is coming, that men have sinned and violated God's laws, and all have sinned. And yet, first of all, look at the eyes, with your eyes, What the Lord Jesus Christ says in the verse 25. After he has declared these things to people, he begins to pray, but he prays publicly. For what reason? I'll tell you why. So that you hear it and that I hear it. That's why he prays. In verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Who are they? These would-be lions who are hard and who will die in their sin. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. These are meek, lowly people who will be humbled. There was a time in John chapter 6 when the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to people around him, the Jews, unless a man eat my flesh and drink my blood, of course he was speaking about his death and what his sufferings would do for sinners. Unless a man eat my bread and drink my blood, well, he can have no entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And we read that many followed him no more. They were offended. And he turned to his disciples and said, will you go also? Go away also. Peter said, Lord, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Here is the Savior. Now notice what he says, thou hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. God will harden people further and further in their sin. That is most certain. But God, in his grace, reveals the gospel to sinners also. He makes people to be babes. As I said, he makes them to feel like helpless little dogs, not as bold, brazen lions. Now notice, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, he to whomsoever the Son will reveal. Now what does he say? He says, this is my business to save. And then here are his words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Wouldn't you say that that woman that came to the Lord Jesus was heavy laden? She was not only burdened for her daughter, but she felt the vileness of her own heart. She felt unworthy to ask anything of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who the Lord Jesus receives. Such as feel their unworthiness. You come demanding. You come in all your pride. God receiveth not the proud, but those that are humble, and they've been humbled. What does he say? Come unto me, all ye that labor. What are you laboring? You realize your sin. You realize your unworthiness. You're heavy laden over it. He says, and I will give you rest. It's rest for the soul, because that's what he goes on to say. For I am meek, and I am lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. So lowly was this Son of God that he who made the heavens and the earth was so meek, yet he became man. He who was meek and lowly became obedient even unto death, to take the sins of all that would ever believe upon him. Now, the world will never receive that. That is utterly offensive to people. You mean I am so sinful? That's what my sins deserve? Yes. But here is rest for the soul of the one that feels themselves to be as a dog. He or she has been wounded. We read in the Word of God, "Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn. He will heal us, he hath smitten, and he will bind us up." Friend, when the Lord saves, the first thing he does is smite you of your sin. It's what we call conviction of sin. And I must ask you that. If you do not have conviction of sin, my friend, you're a lion. And you'll be a dead lion before long. But if you're convicted, you're like me, you feel like a worthless dog most of your life. That's who the Lord Jesus receives. Sinners. Because there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. But he says, "Come to me, all these that feel their sinfulness. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're troubled over your sin. You feel unworthy." He says, "Take my yoke upon you." He gives you a work. He gives you a life. He gives you a new life. It's his yoke. He changes you. He puts his laws in your hearts. That's why it becomes easy. He gives you purpose and he gives you meaning. You stop living for yourself. And you start living for him. And you find that he lives in you. That's why it's easy. That's light. Because the Son of God has saved such a person. This is what he does. He says, "Because I'm meek, I'm lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." Now compare that, go back to Ecclesiastes 5. How do men live in this world? With madness in their hearts. While they live, they go from one thing to the next, trying to find joy and satisfaction in this life. And living as if there is no day before God. All things come alike to all, verse 2. And there is one event to the righteous and to the wicked. Who are the righteous? Those that are made righteous by the righteousness of God's dear Son. They have no righteousness of their own. To the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth, that is to God, and to him that sacrificeth not. Well, the great sacrifice had not come into this world, the Lord Jesus, not yet. But notice, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. There's an evil among all things that are done under the sun. There is one event unto all. Yea, the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart where they live. Well, let me say this. It's madness for you to walk out of here this evening and to continue on. And my prayer is God will change your heart and bring you to your senses. For there is a day when the lion shall be a dead lion. But the dogs that are now shall live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.